changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
So let's talk about this next part of Ted Lasso, which I want to call the first rule of Ted's Fight Club. One of the interesting things about the show, to me, is that they went to, I think, great lengths to cast the part. Lengths. The people who play the roles of the soccer players, I mean, they absolutely look like and handle the ball. I mean, they must be some kind of real soccer players. And they also carry themselves as soccer players. There is this rivalry between an old player and a younger player, older player and a younger player. And they really just are constantly starting to get into it. Now, it's interesting as you watch the show, because you would think that what most coaches would do is they would try and encourage that rivalry. Well, Coach Ted didn't do that. In fact, he basically ignored the rivalry between these two people, and he decided instead to just try and create a happy atmosphere. Well, nonetheless, these two bantam roosters one day started to fight in the locker room, and Coach Ted and Coach Beard ran out, and Coach Ted yelled, "What's the first rule of my Fight Club?" to Coach Beard. Now, if you haven't seen Fight Club, it's a very famous movie with Brad Pitt and Ed Norton, and it's a great book too. I read the book. Extremely violent though. So if you don't want violence in your mind, so I would recommend you not watching it, but Fight Club actually spreads the concept of people getting together in the movie and beating each other up. It spreads because the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. And so it shows this dynamic tension of telling people not to talk about something, and which basically forces them to do it. And so in Ted Lasso, he says, "What's the first rule of my Fight Club?" And Coach Beard responds, "There is no Fight Club. There is no Fight Club." In other words, there's no tolerance for fighting. There's zero tolerance for fighting. You don't fight with your teammates, or you don't fight with anyone. And I've talked about this, that many of us feel like at some point we are justified for striking out or striking back. And in that moment, we've lost it. You know, I said in a post one time on Facebook, once you've lost your temper, you've lost it. And that's coming from a person who grew up with people with a lot of temper, and having one myself, and having worked for the most part to contain it over the years and to grow and to move forward. So we have this idea that at some point, it's okay to raise our voice and lose it. So let's just say that that's true, okay? And a lot of people would say that's justifiable. Okay, so at some point, there's that. The challenge with that is then the focus of whatever is going on becomes your reaction, even if it's in your mind justified in that moment. Your striking a fellow player, you're raising your voice to your child, you're snapping at someone else, etc., etc., etc. It's kind of amazing when you think about this idea of lashing out at other people, because first we have to consider that we have had an injustice to ourselves. Usually our own status, internal status, has been challenged. And so we feel like we've had an existential threat, really is what it is, and I know that sounds big, but I'm going to tie this all together. It feels like an existential threat to our status. And so, boom, we feel justified in striking back. And as soon as we do, like I say, it becomes about our reaction. But it's interesting because what if you and I have two different, and we do, okay? So I just want you to entertain the fact that you, me, everybody has a different level of when it's okay to strike back. And let me give you a Teddy example. When I take Teddy to the dog park, because he's 12 pounds and a lot of big dogs come down like this on top of him and scare him, really scare him. And if those dogs start trying to like, almost like lift his leg to smell him and everything, Teddy will and snap at him to get him back. He can tell I'm talking about him. So he's lifting his head. I never did, I promise. Anyway. So Teddy has a level of when he feels threatened and he's going to go like this. Fight Club is on, all right? Now, unlike Teddy, we have the opportunity to move our level back. We have the opportunity to look at times in our past when we've been snappy, snippy, argumentative, starting to letting in Fight Club. We have an opportunity to look at that and go back and say, what if I had pushed that back? What if I had let that go? What if I had contained myself? Spiritual masters are people who have learned to master their spirit. I said that. That's who said that. And I like it. Spiritual masters are people who have learned to master their spirit. And spiritual masters know there's no Fight Club. You know, you can't imagine Jesus rolling up his sleeves to punch somebody, or the Buddha getting out of his lotus position to tell someone off. So I think on a daily basis, we're being invited in some ways to join a Fight Club. Rush Limbaugh died today. I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh for many, many years. And then I realized that decades ago, I liked him because he was entertaining and engaging, but I realized that he was just trying to rile people up. Rile people up, rile people up, rile people up. And he did it very, very, very successfully to the tune of, I think, what was he making? $20 million a year when he died? Anyway, that being revved up inside of us is something that we need to identify, and we need to develop strategies for handling when that starts to come up in us so that we can step aside. I'm saying all this to tell you that I think it's possible to have relationships where you don't fight. I think it's possible to live with people where you don't fight. I think it's possible to not fight with yourself too, to not be in conflict with yourself, because that's where all the fighting really comes from. If you can start with approval, self-appreciation, understanding, etc., you're going to find a very different person, and you're not going to be tempted to start a fight or to participate in one. Wayne Dyer put it so well. He said, have you ever noticed how hard it is to fight with someone who isn't neurotic? In other words, nothing you say to them is going to stick to them. Nothing you say is going to hit them. Ed, you always do this. You always throw something in at the last. I'm going to jump right into Ed's comment here. Conflict is important for growth. Fighting just diminishes us. Absolutely. Let me just say that everyone who comes into your life, you included, we come into each other's lives for benefits, and at the same time, the benefits that draw us into those lives are not the real reason, in my opinion. Relationships are the thing behind the thing. We are often drawn in relationships to people who we don't know it at first. We think we're attracted to them, enjoy things with them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then we discover that person touches off something that is very much unhealed inside of us. And it's in that moment that it's our opportunity to heal it. So relationships, I believe, are this spiritually complicated thing that draws together really for our own healing and our own benefit. And it's ongoing. It's ongoing. So you're right. You can have that conflict, but you don't have to fight. You don't have to You don't have to fight. Ah, Christina says, good morning. There's Ed again. And good evening, says Amar. Good to see you, Amar. I'm glad you're always here. Anybody here for the first time? Therese, thank you so much. Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you. Anybody else here for the first time? Let us know you're here for the first time. And if not, it has reached 8:16 in the morning on the Eastern Coast. And that means it's time to click share. Click share right now. Please, everybody, click share and type share into the comment section. Click share and type share into the comment section. Thank you very much. You know, it's interesting. I got books. People are sending me books and I'm reading them. And this one I'm looking forward to is Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. As I look back at what transpired, and it's always two people, you know, and yet I see how much of it was myself. And so the first thing I want to do is work on myself, which is the only thing I can do. We always get a choice. We always get a choice. We can turn around and we can blame the other person, which exonerates us in our own minds from what we've done, for whatever our part is. Or we can say, whoop, didn't realize that. And we can dive in and do everything we can to make ourselves better people. We make ourselves better people because it feels good to be a good person. It feels good to know that you've been a good person. And it also attracts good people to you. Hi, first time I have really stopped in, been meaning to, but usually I am at work. I've caught some beginnings of your cute pup, says Wendy. Great to hear you, Wendy. Thanks so much. Who's clicking share? I don't see a single share. What's going on, y'all? Everybody click share. We still got 22 people with us and 4 minutes to go. Click share and tell me if you have any questions. And while you do that, I will take one more. Here are some of the things. I wrote this down in the description. Common things people say about fighting: the closer people are, the more likely they are to fight. It's true. It is true. However, we can make choices and we can create spaces in those times. Fighting is healthy because it brings all the emotions to the surface. I think a healthy person, this is me, is working to bring those emotions. We brought enough emotions to the surface. We need to work on those emotions and then present ourselves in the best way. Fighting is part of human nature. You have to fight to establish yourself. Actually, if you think of the great people in history, they were not the ones running around fighting. They were the ones who were presenting themselves in peace and love. Ed Wilmot, my buddy, says, shared. Love that book, but I have read all of Dr. Joe's books. Well, that is so cool. Good to know. Yes, several of his books have helped me in other areas. Susan says, shared. Awesome. This is my favorite. Welcome, Wendy. Everybody say welcome to Wendy here for the first time. And also, Linda says, shared, I think. I'm the same way. I am the very same way. Sometimes I think I've shared it, and I have. So there's my buddy Jerome kicking in. He's the share monster. What if, you know, my daughter and I work together, and we have certainly had our ups and downs, and she would be totally cool with me talking about. We have had our ups and downs in the past. You've got father and daughter working together, talking all the time, trying to figure things out, personalities, histories, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it took me several years to realize that we were constantly having misunderstandings, and it was totally okay. And once I realized that and gave myself permission for us to have a misunderstanding, we never had tense moments after that. We just never did. A misunderstanding is literally like we'll be talking about, we're setting up some new pages on the internet, and I'm working on one, she's working on another. And a misunderstanding is, I think that the purpose of the page that she's working on is this, so that it feeds into what I'm doing. She thinks it's something else. She and I had a conversation about it. She went away with a completely different understanding than I did. Now, I don't know. In the past, I probably would have said something like, well, why did you know you weren't listening or this is your fault or something like that. But now I just realize, and it's taken me a while, that we are going to misunderstand people constantly. We can work on hearing them better. We can work on confirming what we understand. But a misunderstanding, literally seeing it from two different sides, is not a reason to get upset and cause angst. Real quick, Linda says, I saw our podcast for the first time yesterday. It was healthy. You saw Linda, Aaliyah, my daughter's podcast? Yeah, if you remember the Complaint-Free Life program, Lee and I kind of take turns doing the weekly webinar. We do a podcast every Wednesday for members only in that group. And if you want to check out complaintfreelife.com, you can find out more. Tina, asking the right question gives the right answer, doesn't it though? Awesome. Sue says, share. Listen, thanks everybody for being with me. You are all such a blessing in my life. I get up and I look forward to doing this. Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's been important to me to continue to have this time with you all and to move forward. One of the things I'm going to share with you real quick that I'm so excited about that I'm working on, this is for the Complaint-Free World program. You know, we used to give away the bracelets for the Complaint-Free Life, the Complaint-Free Challenge. When you take the 21-day challenge, people go to the website, say, I want a bracelet, and we'd send them a bracelet. We didn't even charge anything. And it got abused. We had people who literally ordered 10,000 bracelets just to see if we'd send it to them. And so then we went to a paid model, but when we ran all the numbers, it was expensive. It was like $7-8. So we've been selling the bracelets for a couple of years now, four or five years, for $7.95. Well, I think we figured out a way to go back to a paid model, a free model, rather. We're going to give the bracelets away and just ask everybody to kick in a buck towards shipping. That won't near cover everything, but it will get more people out there having the Complaint-Free Challenge, taking the Complaint-Free Challenge. Our goal is to have 1% of the world's population take the Complaint-Free Challenge by 2030. Can you imagine what that will do to the consciousness of our planet? So I'm just telling you, because you're my jump starters, I'm going to be sending you a link. I'm going to be telling you how to, you can share it if you want, but I'd love to get 10,000 people taking the Complaint-Free Challenge next month. I just made that up, but it sounds good. Anyway, I'll get you a link and we'll talk more about it. Thanks everybody for being here with me. I will be with you again live tomorrow. We're going to be doing, I think, one more Ted Lasso. Oh yes, we are. One more Ted Lasso. It's called Winning and Losing. Ted has a very different definition of winning and losing, and it's kind of amazing. So I look forward to joining you or having you join me then. Remember, enjoy today. Might be the only day you get. It actually is. Love you, everybody.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.